Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Talk Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday. March is here. Yes, it is March 1st. I actually watched a little bit of the Combine yesterday. Not because I like sat down and was like, let me watch the Combine, but as I was getting a haircut, my guy James Ricciardo goes, hey, is the Combine going on right now? I was like, yeah, I think it is. We sat there and watched D linemen do the hula hoop drill. Familiar with the hula hoop drill? Hula hoop drill is they take two hula hoops and they stick them next to each other, and then they put items inside the hula hoops and tell them in which way they have to run and pick up the items and then place them back to see some sort of agility. I'd never seen the hula hoop drill, but they were doing that, and I was, I was paying attention to the defensive lineman. There's some guy on Penn State broke the D lineman 40-time record yesterday, so I was locked in. That's how much I need football in my life. But there was one big story that came out of the Combine.
Okay.
And that is, now, the day after Caleb Williams says all the right things, and he's getting praised about how he's not going to turn down an opportunity to be the Bears quarterback. If he gets drafted by the Bears, he's excited. If the Bears trade the pick, he gets excited to play for a different team. If the Bears didn't draft him first overall, he's excited to go play somewhere else. He sounded great. He is now declining medical evaluation, and he is believed to be the first player ever to show up at the Combine, be there physically, and decline medical evaluation.
Well, you know, it's got to start somewhere. You know, there are many players over the years that have complained about the Combine and what goes on at the Combine. And it was just a matter of time before somebody was going to show up and say, you know, not only am I not throwing, I'll come here and I'll talk, I'll interview with you guys, but you're not touching me medically. You're not looking at me medically. Now, watching him play over the last 2 years, I would say there's nothing wrong with him medically. Yeah, unless, of course, there's something like a spinal stenosis or they have, you know, a lower back problem. You would never know, but he doesn't look like he has a problem.
No, he doesn't, but you really don't know, right? You have no idea. And if I am going to put my job on the line, and if I'm as a general manager, and also if I'm an owner making a tremendous investment, I got to know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I got to know. I don't know if I'd be able to take him.
No, they're going to take him. And the thing is that, you know, it's just a matter. He knows they're going to take him. Everybody knows that they're going to take
him. Then why is he declining it?
There's no reason for it. No reason for anybody else to have any sort of, you know, information about me if I know I'm going to the Bears. The Bears can check me out when they draft me.
Oof.
That kind of thing.
All right, so I know that this is, you're talking from a player's perspective.
Yeah, I'm just
from a general
you,
manager's perspective or an owner's perspective, how would you feel?
I would feel, you know, a little bit frustrated, no question. But again, you know, I keep telling you that these kids are changing and they're changing and they're changing. And the money that they're making in college, the empowerment that they now have, it kind of changes the landscape. So that's why I was saying, you know, in the middle of the season, if Caleb Williams had said, I do not want to play for, you know, anybody other than, say, the Commanders, where he's from, that would have really been a test for the NFL, because now all of a sudden kids are picking where they want to go.
It wouldn't be the first time.
I know, yeah, but there were different reasons why different, like Eli and John Elway specifically did their situations. This would have been because, look, I'm Caleb Williams. I've already made, you know, $10 million at USC, whatever it is, and I can do whatever I want because it's player empowerment time. That's not going to happen. That's not what he said. He said that if the Bears pick him, he'd love to play there, and that would be a smart thing for him.
And very rarely, now, some people could look at this and say that it's going to project into the future and a ton of guys are going to do this. It's very rarely that someone like this is going to come along where you feel like it's a no doubt, 100%, he's going to be the guy that gets selected first overall. Everybody else is sort of have to go there, and you know whether it's going up from you know being fourth overall or third overall.
I don't know.
15th
to
14th.
Let me ask you a question: is Marvin Harrison Jr. going through any of this?
He's
not doing anything.
Well, no, I think he's getting a medical evaluation because the story was that Caleb Williams was the first person and only person to ever do this. So that means if Marvin Harrison is there, then he's probably going through the medical evaluation.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison says, I'm not working out the clock. I don't need to work out.
Well, there's been other guys, but see, there's been other guys who haven't worked out. There's been other guys who haven't thrown that are quarterbacks. There's been guys that don't go. But this is new in the fact that he is attending, not throwing, not participating, and also not getting any sort of medical evaluation. So that's new. So he's believed to be the first invitee to decline medical exams and still attend the combine. So, yeah, I mean, we will see. But, you know, that most guys, I mean, 99% of guys will go through these medical exams and do everything that they need to do. I don't think that this is, I mean, maybe for a quarterback who is believed to be a consensus number one guy in the future.
Yeah.
Then maybe they'll follow the Caleb Williams route, but most guys are going to go through the evaluation.
So today at 3:00, you got defensive backs and tight ends, and then tomorrow is the quarterbacks and wide receivers.
So you have a nice little Saturday, spring Saturday to yourself, and you'll be watching. Are you going to go over to Phil Simms' house?
No.
Because you know he watches every bit of that.
Oh, yeah.
He loves the men in underwear.
He's all over this.
He loves that. I'm surprised he's not there.
He may be there.
Oh, just to get a grab here or there?
Just to kind of talk to some people.
Yeah, I mean, it's not in any sort of inappropriate way. He just likes to grab, like he grabbed me just to feel my body. To see where I was at.
Yeah, and he called you a thick some bitch.
He did. Yeah, he goes,
you were thick back then.
I was very, very, very thick, and I took it as a huge compliment because he generally talks about thick people in a positive way, and when he grabbed me, it was during a picture, so I was in between the two of you, and he took that hand of his, and he just started squeezing all around, and I was like, man, I'm getting the Phil Simms football player evaluation.
Yes.
And he whispered in my ear, he goes, you a thick some bitch. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Damn right I am.
You
Phil.
Loved it.
Let's go do a talk show now. It was great.
Remember how you were sweating that night?
I was.
It was amazing how much you were sweating that night.
Yeah, I was soaked. It was disgusting. Well, I mean, I wore like a first of all, I was bigger. I was probably 245, 250 pounds.
Yeah, you were fat, Gio.
And it was warm in there. Then it got even warmer when all the people showed up. And I had this sweater on, I remember. I had like layers. It was cold because it was like spring. And then we went inside and I was just pouring sweat out.
You're sweating.
Plus, it was a big deal.
And we had that very adventurous subway ride, you and I. Where the guys were dancing right in my face.
The shirtless guys were dancing right in Al's face.
Which not just was dancing, doing acrobatics on the, like the where people would hold their hands up on the bars on the subway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like gymnastics.
Yeah. That was it, gymnastics.
I posted that on my Instagram, GOWFAN, back in the day. If you want to look at it, you can just go to the account and you just scroll down. It's not that far. It's you see a shirtless man with as some sort of a backpack on is the sort of the image. And if you don't remember there, Boomer, this was it.
I remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and Al was just sitting there meekly.
And the greatest part about that is Al had not gotten on the subway in a number of years. And this was the first experience that he had. Oh, my goodness. Just absolutely tremendous. All right, let's go to Captain Dave. Oh, look at this. This is Captain Dave Anderson out in Bayport. He's driving around getting those ferries ready for the summer. What's up, Captain Dave? What do you got for us?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Just a little combine information. Boomer, I'm sure you know about it, but we've got a Long Island kid that got invited to the combine. I wish the kid the best. I really do. I think he's got a legitimate shot. And that's Boomer. He played for you in the Empire Challenge, as a matter of fact, and that's Dylan Love from West Hampton.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So yeah. I'm trying to think. He was, oh, God. This is like six years ago?
Yeah, I want to say 17, 18 is
yeah.
when he played in the Challenge.
Yeah.
You know, the kid put up ridiculous numbers in high school. He had close to 7,000 yards in his high school career, well over 600 carries.
Where'd he go to school?
He went to, kind of funny, he went to university, he went to high school West Hampton.
Yeah.
Then he went to University of New Hampshire, where he graduated from, and as a matter of fact, a co-teammate of my son's at Siena College, who left the lacrosse team at Siena, went to University of New Hampshire to play football, ended up being a long snap for Tom Brady in the Super Bowl in Tampa.
And one day Bradley Schwartz will be long snapping to Patrick Mahomes.
That's 2 days in a row Bunker. That we have just spoken about long snapping.
That's right, 2 days in a row.
Look at this thing. It's a growing trend.
It certainly is. It's good to be a long snapper. This is the golden age of long snapping. But yeah, no, that's great. That Empire Challenge has been around for what, 5 years now or something.
Well, the pandemic killed us.
Yeah. Yeah. So this guy has had a full college career and has definitely gone on to big things if you're getting invited to the combine. So best of luck. Now, I heard your sports minute, speaking of NFL stuff, on the competition committee.
Yes.
Was that a lower the boom spot?
It was a lower the boom spot.
It was always lowering the boom.
Yeah, because I hate the rule where the offense, if they have the ball and they fumble it in throughout the end zone and it goes out of bounds, the defense gets the ball.
Yep.
They never actually possess the ball. They just get the ball. And I hate that. If the ball goes out of bounds, and we're outside of 2 minutes now, we're talking about regular first quarter, guys running down the field, fumbles the ball. If the ball goes out of bounds on the 1-inch line, it's the offense's ball on the 1-inch line. If the ball goes over the goal line and then goes out of bounds on the sideline, it's now the defense's ball on the 20-yard line going the other way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing?
I mean, I don't, like what happened in the Baltimore Raven and Kansas City Chiefs playoff game where Jarius Sneed knocks the ball out of the hands of Flowers. And they recover the ball. That's a different story. This is a ball that's not recovered, but it goes out of the end zone and it goes back to the defense. I don't understand. The defense is getting its ass kicked, going all the way down the field, and then all of a sudden an offensive player has the ball knocked out of his hands and it goes out of bounds when it goes through the end zone. And you're giving the ball to the defense. Why?
And that's something that we thought was going to change.
I thought it was going to change because fans hate it, players hate it, except, of course, if you're a defensive player. And I think that, you know, you want high-scoring games. You want more scoring. Why would you do that? Maybe you take the ball and you put it on the 10-yard line. Or maybe it's a reverse touchback and you put it out on the 20 and you're whatever down you're on, that's where you're at. I don't know. There's got to be some sort of compromise. I just think it's too severe of a penalty for the offensive team.
And this is the first year in 20-some-odd years that Bill Belichick is not on the competition committee, right? Mm. And he was one who always used to propose a lot of stuff. Didn't he move the extra point back?
Yes.
He's the guy behind that. So
He wants to replay everything, too.
Yeah. He never was able to get that, but that was one of the things he threw out there. So he was a major part of shaping the rules of the league in the last 20 years with the competition committee. This is the first time that he's not on there.
Now, it's going to be interesting to see whether or not he goes into TV or not. Man, I couldn't imagine sitting next to Coach Cowher and Coach Belichick on the NFL today.
Oh, boy. Now, they're friendly.
Oh, yeah.
But once they get like one of those slobber knocker games, you know, the two of them probably foaming at the mouth like they got rabies.
Yeah, I know. I could see some of the comments that I make and Coach Belichick looking at me going, what'd you just say?
Yeah.
The coach, this is TV, man. It's got to be entertainment. You got to understand that. I mean, like, you know, that's the one thing I will say. Remember how we would have Mike Tannenbaum on, and he was the worst guest. He was so dry and just had no personality, and everything was a process, and we made fun of everything that he would always say. And now he's on ESPN, and he's figuring it out. And he's like, you know, the Giants would trade Daniel Jones to the Browns for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, the process.
And that's a process.
Yeah, he just throws crap out there to get attention.
Yeah, but he's finally figured it out. He's on the dark side.
The process.
Well, Rex Ryan was sort of, when Rex Ryan first got to ESPN, I think he was trying to get another job in the league, so he wasn't criticizing people because he didn't want to offend anybody that might hire him. And then when he realized that no one was going to hire him again, he just started ripping into people, destroying them. And now he's one of the more entertaining personalities that they have.
Exactly. Finally figured it out.
And by the way, you were out when we did this, but Ryan Clark put out a contract hype video for himself where he basically said that I'm the best to have ever done this. Mm-hmm. And now I put in all the work. And the next phase of Ryan Clark on TV is getting paid more and doing less. I mean, and I am not exaggerating one bit. That's what he said. He goes, I've already put in the work. Now I want to do less and get paid more. And he got it. He actually got it. And Jerry and I sat here and said, if you're an executive, why in the hell would you pay the guy when he's admitting that he's not going to work as hard? And they did.
So he's making more money and he now is working less hours a week. I mean,
he's going to drop some other stuff or whatever. Yeah, he did this podcast. He might not be doing that anymore. They had him do Inside the NFL. Maybe he drops that. I don't know. But he said he had all these other jobs and all these things, and now he wanted to get paid more and do less. So.
Well, you could say whatever you want about Ryan Clark. The one thing you can't dispute is that he does have strong opinions.
Oh, he's good on TV.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not denying that. I just could not believe it's like him getting dressed in a suit and everything. He's just basically like, I'm the best. I grind it. I'm done. And I'm like, what? And he's like, now I put myself in a spot where I want to do less and get paid more. It says this.
You know, he's probably looking at Stephen A. Smith going, how much is he making?
Yeah, but I mean, how much money is he bringing in too? I mean, that's
How much time has Ryan Clark has? I don't know, because maybe he's on when we're on. I'm not sure. How many hours a week has he been putting in the car wash over there? You know what I mean?
Well, it's not just ESPN. I mean, that's the thing. The point that he was making was that, you know, ESPN gave him a contract back then. He thought he was worth more than what they offered him. So then he started branching out and doing other things, started working for Inside the NFL, which is not an ESPN thing. He started working for... He did his own podcast, which was not affiliated with ESPN. So he basically wants just that one job, like, I don't know, like the Pat McAfee show or Stephen A. Smith, whoever, that one job at ESPN to get paid enough to not have to do all the other stuff.
Right. I see what you're saying.
What it comes down to.
So he wanted to cut back on other areas, but he needed somebody else to pay him more money.
Yeah.
And there are days when he's at over at ESPN, he's there all day doing hits from the morning sports center up through Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah, that's the car wash.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ziggy in Hillsdale, New Jersey. What's going on, Ziggy?
Hey, how's it going? You guys just mentioned Mike Tannenbaum, so I just have a question about him.
All right.
Okay, so he actually last week mentioned that he thinks that Russell Wilson should be the backup to Aaron Rodgers on the Jets, and I wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on that. And they had to check his... cup for Buka to see what was wrong with him when he said that.
Yeah, well, like I told you, he's figuring it out. So he's creating scenarios for people to discuss, and he's looking for different and smart because he's using very well-known players in a lot of these different scenarios he's putting out there.
Right. I mean, Exhibit A is Ziggy from Hillsdale calling up and asking about it a week later. And we all know it's a ridiculous, non-realistic situation. But Ziggy's still thinking about it. So there you go. There's the new Mike Tannenbaum.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Feel Good Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It is Boomer and Geo. Jerry Recco back. He's got another sports update and more. What's going on, Jerry?
We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, so you had the Knicks and the Warriors last night at Madison Square Garden. Now, the last time the Warriors played, Steph Curry got out to a very slow start. I think he was scoreless definitely through the first quarter, might have even been the entire first half. Well, last night, that was not the case as Golden State beat New York.
9-0 start for the Knicks, and a block on the other end. Kuminga and Green converged on Hartenstein. And now Curry fires once again. Stephen Curry, he's off to one of those starts.
He was. That was part of his 31-point effort as the Warriors beat the Knicks 110-99. Dante DiVincenzo was mic'd up for this game and noticed the big difference for his pal Curry from the last time out.
That's how you wanted to start off? You wanted to start DC scoreless. Now you want to come in here. Okay. I've been watching.
Ever since you texted me.
It sounds like those two are quite friendly. Jonathan Kuminga, who had 25 in this game, guess what he said, Boomer? Couldn't wait to get his time in the Garden to play.
I always dreamed to play here since I was a little kid, and I think that was my biggest motivation.
Biggest motivation was to come into the Garden and play a big game.
You know, all these stars all talk about coming into the Garden and playing in such a magical place, yet none of them want to play here.
They don't want to stay here. They heard about congestion pricing.
Yeah.
The Knicks have dropped 7 of 9. Jalen Brunson did have 27 in the loss. Knicks now 35-25 on the season. Nets beat the Hawks 124-97. Just one from Kevin Ollie on why the team was successful.
We hit first. Just our energy, our effort, those are things we can control. I'm going to keep saying that. They get tired of me saying it, but that's just part of me. That's
yeah, energy and effort. Sounds like a pretty good thing to rely on. Cam Johnson had 29 points, 7 of 11 from 3. Dennis Schroeder had 23 points and 7 assists. So the Nets 23-36 on the season. Couple of other things notable from the NBA. Spurs beat the Thunder 132-118. Last hour we played the block and then the three-pointer from Victor Wembanyama. He had 28 points, 12 rebounds. He was on Bally Sports Southwest after the game. Very happy to be back home.
I miss this. I love it. I missed it. Enjoy the game.
Yeah, he enjoyed the game for sure. He played really well as they beat a very good team in Oklahoma City. It was their 12th win of the season for San Antonio. A couple of other things. The Lakers beat the Wizards in overtime, 31 for LeBron, 40-15 for Anthony Davis. Nuggets beat the Heat, Bucks over the Hornets, 111-99. Snoop Dogg was the latest guest on the All the Smoke podcast / show with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. So here they ask him, since he's a big basketball fan, about all-time great players.
Who's your current top five in the league right now?
Basketball players?
Mm-hmm.
That motherfucker from the Nuggets, Jokic.
Jokic.
Hey, hands down. I'm like, it used to be Giannis. That thing came out of nowhere. He don't around.
Okay. Number two on his list.
When Ja Morant is on the court,
man, yeah, he unstoppable.
I can't even front because that is different. I hate playing that. Man, he
got
different.
A jetpack on him.
He truck. Is a goon with the spoon.
And then he would go to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I like the from the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Shai.
Oh, that yeah. He play like Snoop Dogg. I like him. That nigga play like the T.O. Double. I'm with him. That's three, right?
That's three. So we get to four.
Well, wait a minute. Embiid keeping his light on a little bit more.
Bro, he on one right now.
I'm going to throw him in there. That's why I had to check myself. I throw him in there, Embiid. I have to. I know the game. I'm still paying attention.
Yeah, he's paying attention. And then number five, we go to the T-Wolves.
The young goon from Minnesota.
Anthony
Edwards. Will bang on your ass right now.
He old school.
I will bang on your ass right now.
Oh, this was great.
You gotta be kidding me.
Done because there was an honorable mention.
Brian, you coming off the bench for being an old ass with all
So that was very funny, yes.
I mean, that guy, imagine if he could, if you could say anything on a NBA broadcast, I would, if as an executive, would pay him
top dollar
to break. Because that is a guy. We always talk about who is the color analyst you'd actually put a game on for.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's never a person.
Right.
If Snoop Dogg could do that during a game, I would actually put on NBA games that I had no interest in just to hear what he said.
Did you ever hear him voice over the lizard running through the snakes?
Yes, yeah.
I mean,
so good.
It's so good.
It's an all-timer.
I would think what you could do is you could have a YouTube live show while he's watching the games like the Mannings do. You could do like a Snoopcast.
Yeah. And you knew what it was.
And
you go there expecting to hear certain things.
Absolutely. Yes. Exactly what you hear in all the smoke and before I bleep it all out.
He knows football, too. I would love to have him with Al Michaels on the Amazon cast.
Oh, God.
That would be freaking awesome.
Bang on that ass.
You know, speaking of football real quick, I'm kind of jumping around here, but the retired Peter King released his list of nicest quarterbacks he's ever had to deal
with
in his career. Yes, Peter King.
Peter King.
And this was on his way out the door when he made the announcement the other day. Do you know who the top three are, if you had to take a guess?
Well, one of them's going to be Boomer, for sure, because they have a long relationship. There's no doubt one of them's going to be Boomer.
Yes, it is.
Peyton Manning?
Yeah, Peyton Manning was one. Boomer was two. And who's number three?
Tom Brady.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And number four? Your guy.
Kirk Cousins.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Number five, Geno Smith.
Geno Smith. Wow.
Look at that, yeah.
I was looking at you like Dante Culpepper.
No.
Well, I told you, I go all the way back to 1984 when Peter started at the Cincinnati Inquirer, and I was drafted by the Bengals. And Peter somehow, some way, picked up me and my former teammate at the University of Maryland, Pete Koch, and he had a rabbit. Volkswagen Rabbit, and Pete was 6'5", 280, 290, and I'm looking like I got to get in the back seat of this thing, and I said, welcome to the effing NFL, I guess.
How about that? And sounds like the Andre the Giant documentary when he got in those small cars in France that he couldn't even fit into. That's probably what you guys look like.
It was ridiculous, actually.
Yeah. Since we're on the NFL, just quickly, Xavier McKinney was on the Pat Leonard podcast. He is another one of these guys, which makes sense as a teammate. He wants Saquon Barkley to get himself his new deal finally.
Saquon is a phenomenal running back. He's a great dude. He's a dude that deserves to be paid.
Well, we'll see what the market does bear for Saquon and all these running backs that are going to be free this coming offseason.
It is amazing how many of these running backs are free now.
Big names.
There's going to be like seven or eight to choose from. I mean, Saquon's right in the middle of his prime. You know, I mean, boy, I'll tell you what. Big D. Dallas.
That would be phenomenal.
Could you imagine Saquon Barkley in a Cowboys uniform?
I could. Yes, I could.
I'm trying to.
I've thought about it already.
That would be so hard to, like, even just fathom and wrap my head around that.
Well, the Giants don't want to give him the deal. Maybe the Cowboys will.
I was thinking that I also read something where Saquon was talking with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. Mm. And that the Texans are a big landing spot for him right now amongst
Oh, that'd be killer. He ends up in Texas and he ends up in Houston and not Dallas. Oh, well. Mets lost to the Marlins 2-1 in spring action. Jose Quintana allowed two runs over an inning in two-thirds. Tyler McGill, three scoreless. You've got the Mets and the Cardinals coming up later today. Luis Severino, the star. I'm going to play you something from the Yankee game, and then you're going to tell me why.
Okay.
Now, I will tell you that, let me play it first, and then tell me why I'm playing this.
And the 3-2 from Weathers comes right at him. Drilled the other way. A leadoff base hit for Giancarlo Stanton.
thin and strong Giancarlo Stanton. Any thoughts on why I might play that?
Was he batting leadoff?
No, that's a good thought, but no, that's not why.
The pitcher was David Weathers, who's now 65 years old.
You're close. So Al and I were talking on the warm-up show about he had to make a phone call to a credit card company for a dispute when they informed him what a great customer he's been, that he's had the card for 32 years and he felt old. So I played this, and my first thought was, David Weathers ain't still pitching. It's his son, Ryan Weathers.
Wow. Yeah.
David Weathers was just on the Mets.
Yes. He wasn't just on the Mets.
I know that. You get what I'm saying.
It feels like it was just on the Mets.
And now his son's up pitching. Oh, my gosh.
I saw that Justin Bieber turned 30 today, and that made me feel old.
Uh-oh. Yeah. I get that.
I honestly, if you would have asked me how old he was, I would have said 22.
I've been around a while, though.
8 years off.
Didn't he hit it when he first burst on the scene? Didn't he hit it with the mute? Well, was he a child or was he in his early teens?
I thought he was like 10 or 11.
So he was like a YouTube sensation, wasn't he?
No, I don't know. Yeah, he was, I don't
know. 30 years old?
Yeah. David Weathers' kid is pitching?
Yep. Jesus. How about that? Anyhow, Garrett Cole, the start tonight. Yankees will play the Blue Jays. The Islanders, you know, they beat Dallas the other night on the road last night in Detroit, and they got another win.
Thompson, backdoor play for Palmieri, went right through him.
Yeah, just couldn't find the handle, right? Well conceived.
Here's Nelson, scores!
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that was Brendan Burke, Butch Goring on MSG. Isles beat the Red Wings 5-3. That was one of two goals for Brock Nelson, Matthew Barzell, Casey Cizikas score as well. Here's Kyle Palmieri. He says that's back-to-back wins in a couple of tough places in Detroit and Dallas.
And that was a really good road trip for us. We'll head home and get ready for Saturday, but a lot of positives to draw from this week, and we'll just keep that rolling in the right direction.
The interesting thing is that both the Devils and the Islanders have played 59 games, and they're they're right outside of the wild card, with Detroit and Tampa Bay holding on to the wild card, and Detroit and Tampa Bay have played more games than both the Devils and the Islanders. Detroit only won more game, but Tampa Bay has played three more games. So they can...
How about that?
At 6 points right there, they can catch Tampa Bay winning those three games.
No doubt. The Islanders and Rangers off tonight. You've got the Devils and Anaheim starting right around 10 p.m. Rutgers beat Michigan 82-52. Hofstra beat UNC Wilmington. You got tonight Columbia playing Princeton. I know Princeton's really good, so Ivy League battle there. And Caitlin Clark says she is leaving school, not early, but she's going to forego her final year of eligibility to enter the WNBA draft.
Apparently, David Weathers' kid's been pitching since 2020.
Is that true?
He's been around that long?
Wow, that is amazing. Wow. It's very possible. I mean, we've seen a lot of the players we grew up with their kids coming through, but that's just when it just doesn't feel like he was pitching all that long ago for the Mets.
Yeah, it's got to be tough for some of these guys, you know, like Charlie Woods and David Weathers' kid.
Not easy. Well, Charlie Woods for sure. I mean, how do you ever compare to Tiger? Yeah.
No, I'm just messing around.
David Weathers.
Yeah. Who was the other kid we were talking about? That was just recently an athlete's kid.
Bronny.
Bronny. Yeah, so like Bronny and Charlie Woods, and then David Weathers' son.
Okay. Yeah,
same type of thing, you know.
Well, maybe within the family dynamic, it is.
Yeah. It has to be. Even reading, we had the story we were talking about Cal Ripken and his mom being abducted, whatever it was, 12 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
Reading more into that story, you see the personal life and how Cal Ripken's son was drafted twice, went back to college the first time, and then the Orioles drafted him, and he never got beyond like AAA ball. That's got to be really hard when you're a Ripken and you can't get to the big leagues.
Hmm. Or you're Cooper Manning.
Or that, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. But you got Arch Manning.
That's true. Which even more emasculating.
But Cooper had an injury, though.
Whatever. Facts are facts, man.
Well,
you got your two brothers and your son that are all going to go to the NFL.
And your dad.
And you're doing...
And your dad.
And you're doing, you know, commercials, trying to be the funny guy.
Well, he is a funny guy.
Well,
maybe tough, but, you know...
There have to be depressing days, though. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Them and I'm me.
Yeah, right. There has to be.
I don't know. I kind of feel like, you know, they're all so tight. That family's so tight.
100%.
And there's probably, you know, come on. We always see Eli and Peyton going back and forth in good, kind of like a good-natured way. But I would imagine that the competition within the family is probably pretty intense.
Yes. But think about what those two accomplished in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you feel like the third guy.
Oh, they brought him along. He's been with them.
Right, exactly.
They took care of him.
He just brought along. Like, they put him on a leash. Here, come with us.
They didn't do that.
You know what? That might be the ultimate leech spot. Dad, two brothers, now son.
It's tough.
Ultimate leech spot.
Very tough.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday. A couple of things from our afternoon show I wanted to bring up.
Because right.
I was listening on my way to the haircut yesterday. And I heard what could quite possibly be one of the worst sort of dad joke lines I have heard. And generally, Sean Morash is not like a dad joke type of guy. Like, he's got humor that makes me laugh. But he said this, and I actually told this joke to the subject of the joke just now in the newsroom, and the subject of the joke didn't even understand the joke. All right, here's how it goes. So Evan, I told you, he's trying to get out of the growing the beard and hair Pete Alonso contract bet that he has. He said he's not going to shave his beard or cut his hair till Pete Alonso and the Mets have an extension. Turns out that ain't going to happen during the season. And Scott Boras is going to take this thing to the end. So he'd have this long ZZ Top beard. He would look like basically, you know, Tom Hanks in Castaway. So he decided, I got to get out of this thing. He tried to play Sean Morash in pickleball to get out of it. He lost, can't get out of it. So now he threw out there, what if I dye my beard a different color for 15 straight shows and then shave half of my beard off and go to opening day? Would that suffice of me looking like an idiot and get out of this? Because I can't, I just cannot have this beard. So they said yes. Everybody in the show said yes. So we had all these dyes out in front of him and the different colors, you know, like ruby red and sparkling yellow. And one of them was grandma gray. And Sean Morash goes, well, that's what we're going to be calling Maggie one day. So if you get it, because her last name is Gray, and he's saying that maybe she's going to be a grandma. So I go to Maggie, and I said, did you happen to hear Sean's joke about Grandma Gray? And she goes, no. I said, well, we're going to be calling Maggie Grandma Gray one day. And she goes, what? And I said, well, your last, oh, she goes, oh, my last name, yeah.
Okay.
Horrendous.
Oh, yeah, horrendous. Horrendous.
I mean, just horrendous.
You know, I think about those guys, and I feel so bad for Tiki at times. He's like in the middle of this madness.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I want to say, I feel like it was like 3 weeks ago when we had Tommy Lugauer coming out of a Nick Net game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dudes, dogs, and damage.
Yeah, dude, dog, damage.
Yeah, the whole dude, dog, damage.
That's
thing.
His thing.
Yeah. I know. Well, they ain't no dudes, dog, damage right now, man.
Yeah, right.
What? And who's got a better NARP posse, you or Tiki? And, you know, you're so familiar with us.
Right.
Those are relatives.
Well, they're younger NARPs.
That is true.
And Evan is the ultimate NARP.
Yeah, but I mean, NARP posse in a sense, like, how are you defining who's got the better one? Like, who has more non-athletic people or who has more athletic NARPs?
Less mutant-like?
Less mutant-like?
Well, you guys are definitely less mutant-like. I mean, Sean Morash is just a mutant in himself, you know,
yeah.
Think about it.
Right.
And I love Sean, but, you know, it is what it is, and he plays a good role.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Except for the Grandma Gray joke.
Yeah,
that's one I gotta, you got to take
flat.
That. Yeah. Even with Maggie, it fell flat. All right, so I was going through Evan's book here to see if he really went in my Mets Bible, scoring 30 years of baseball, fandom to see if he really went in on the story from L.A. that me, Joe, and Evan had. And he did. He almost went the full story, almost the complete full story. And one of them, this is the Ryan Church game in 2009 where we were at Dodger Stadium. It was the Omer Santos, Vin Scully story where Vin Scully, it's Sweeney Murdy's favorite story. I probably told us 1,000 times, but I'm sitting at a table in press dining with Joe Beningo and Jay Horowitz. Vin Scully walks by and Jay introduces Vin to us. We had never met him before. And Jay's like, hey, Vin, come over here. Joe Beningo, Greg from New York. And Vin Scully doesn't say hello, but just launches into a story. And he goes, you guys have a catcher named Omer Santos. I'd never heard the name Omer in all my years of broadcasting. So I went to the ladies who work here in the press dining that speak Spanish. And I said, what does Omer mean? And they all put their hands over their mouths and started laughing. And one of them looked up and said, penis. Omer means penis. You guys have a catcher named penis. And walked away.
So this is before Al was talking about penis.
Yeah, apparently. Vin Scully was the first penis guy.
Yeah.
So that is in here. He did that. And then also when he was so upset, Evan, over a May 18th regular season baseball game out in L.A., he asked me to do the Mike Francesa impersonation to get him out of it. And I did, and I was describing very, very vulgar things, like just, you know, I can't even really say it on the air, but he could have put it in a book, and he didn't. He just said so this time was Mike Francesa saying some of the most vile things as he described the scene of a porn movie. So between how spot on Gio's Francesa imitation was and the hilarious material coming out of his mouth, and not only began laughing, it was a belly laugh, I'd forgotten why I was so angry. So there you go.
And why was he so angry?
Because it was whatever. How to forget how the game ended. Ryan Church got thrown out at the plate.
Okay.
Could have won the game or something. I don't remember. You know, whatever it was. And the year.
And listen, I'd in a second.
And one of my favorite moments from that trip was they made us pay our own way out there because it was our idea. So I could kind of understand that from a business standpoint. We wanted to go out to L.A. 2 years in a row to see the Mets in Anaheim. Then the Mets played the Dodgers. There was an NBA Finals game. It was our idea. So they made us pay our own way out there. Right?
God.
And we were covering the games and doing shows.
I know, but did you guys share a hotel room?
We did.
Oh.
And we shared a hotel room, and Joe Beningo was on the cot because he wanted to be on the cot.
All three of you guys?
In a hotel room.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
I swear to God. It was the middays, too, on top of it.
And he woke you up. In his underwear,
yeah,
right?
In his tidy whiteies, he was. Yeah, I said, he goes, bro, you don't even need to set an alarm. I'll be up. I'll be up at 5 o'clock. Probably up before that. I'll wake you up. And I woke up to him slapping my chest with the back of his hand, wearing nothing but tidy whiteies, going, bro, it's 5. And I was like, what? Most jarring thing ever. But what I loved about that, I'd never seen
it. It was the back of his hand he was slapping you with, as opposed to something else.
It was just Schwantz that he was whipping me with. But anyway, so we pay our own way out there. Right before the first show that we do, Dove sends me the live read that he has to read, the billboard for who is sponsoring Joe and Evan in L.A.
Okay.
And it's Delta Airlines. Joe goes, are you effing kidding me? Are you effing kidding me? Get me Mark on the phone right now. Get Journey on the phone right. We had to pay our own freaking way out here to L.A. I had to buy my own flight. G, who makes like $13,000 a year, is buying his own flight out here. And you're telling me you got Delta Airlines to sponsor our shows? Give me a freaking break, bro. Get him on the phone. That cheap bastard.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
Is that in the book or no?
No, that's not.
That's not
in the book.
Book. Okay.
No, that's not.
It should be in the book.
Yeah. And there was another moment in that trip where Joe and I were out on the balcony of the hotel room smoking weed, and Evan was not joining us. We were sitting there talking music, smoking weed on the balcony in L.A., and there was an earthquake.
Are you sure there was an earthquake? You weren't having like delusions?
No. What's funny is we were with the opposite effect. So Evan, who's totally sober, he's in there doing God knows what, you know, maybe like a Build-A-Bear or something. He comes flying out to the balcony. He's like, we got to get out of here. There's an earthquake. Did you feel that? And I was like, I no. Mm-hmm. And Joe's like, bro, I didn't feel an effing thing. Next day was like 6.8 on the Richter scale. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Evan was right. Evan was 100% right. But anyway, so that's a cool, there's a little more addendum here. I should have written the foreword for this, my Mets Bible.
I'm surprised he didn't ask you to do that. Who did write the foreword? Did anybody write it?
It doesn't look like it. Introduction. No, just an introduction. No foreword.
Dedication?
Any dedication?
Yes, dedication to Craig Carton. To Craig Carton, actually, for the years that he spent with Mom, Dad, Sylvia, Jet, and Spence.
There's a lot of acknowledgments, too.
In the back? Is that where they're?
Somewhere, because I saw a whole list of them. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy, what are we doing?
Oh, is this
it was almost like Peter Schwartz's son thanking all those people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was like that was like an Oscar speech.
Oh, I got a story about that.
Okay.
Sabrina comes home from school. This is, you know how some people lie about what their kids say? I will never do that.
Okay.
This is word for word what she said. She goes, Daddy, you had a high schooler on your show today? I said, yeah. He talked a lot. And I said, shut up. Let my daddy talk. I was like, yeah, he did talk a lot.
You know what? He came in prepared.
Yeah.
People must have come after Peter on social media, too, because I saw a tweet where he was talking about how mean people are on Twitter.
It's unbelievable. I mean, he did. I don't know how many times I got to tell him. But there was 98% of the people, congratulations, that's
yes,
awesome. So happy.
Great.
And then a couple people trying to knock him down, and he's got to focus on that and tweet about it and ruin the moment. It's just like you can lead Peter to water. You can't make him drink it. All right, yeah, so here we go. We got a whole bunch of them.
Lead him to a buffet and he'll eat it.
Joe Beningo, Tiki Barber, Mark Chernoff, Chris Olivero, Spike Eskin. Yeah, look at that. To my in-laws, to Ken, Alex, and Jesse, everybody at Triumph. There's a lot of acknowledgments, two page of acknowledgments there.
Are you in there? Acknowledged?
No, but I mean, I got my name. He was very, very, it's actually embarrassing how nice he was to me in this thing, so I didn't even read it. Because it was over the top.
Well,
over
you, guys
the
top were, nice. You guys were good friends at one time.
Yeah.
Well, you had a lot of similarities. You loved the Mets. You loved baseball.
You're both bipedal.
No. We did not have a lot of similarities. Just the Mets really was it, and working at the radio station.
Well,
everything else was.
Yeah, but that's big. I mean, you guys spent a lot of time together.
We certainly did.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.